Radio. This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to the Whisker Report. We're a new podcast dedicated to helping anyone in the pet industry, whether you're in animal welfare or a for-profit pet company, get some PR and buzz for your organization. Hello, everyone. I'm Mary Tan, one of the hosts of the show, along with Alexandre Ricard, a cat rescuer and public relations professional who hails from France, but was recently in Mexico and is now in the lovely town of Vancouver, Washington. Bonjour, Alex, you little world traveler.
Bonjour. So we have big news today. I was just in Mexico for 2 weeks doing some TNR, and I found a little dog from Amy.
Yes. I'm going down May 9th and 10th. You may listen to that after this to get this dog that Alex picked for me.
Yeah, just a little stray dog we found on the streets of Mexico. His name is Max, and he's absolutely adorable. And I'm actually really grateful for Mary, because otherwise we would have had to put him back on the streets. So thank you, Mary.
Oh, well, that's the mission of Whisker Media, is to give back to animals who, you know, they can't take care of themselves necessarily, and they need our support. So, Alex, I just want to ask you a question. How many animals did you guys spay and neuter?
So we spayed and neutered around 20 a day. So I think around 200.
Wow. And these were all just strays walking around?
There was half of them were strays that we did actually like go and trapped, but half of them were also pets from very poor area where people would go to this area and people would just like drop them off and we would take them, get them sterilized, and then the next day we'll just bring them back to them. So yeah, I mean, you know, in Mexico, it's kind of like Greece. People have pets, but the pets do live on the streets. They're not like, you know, like little kitty, like Franklin, who lives in your house and sleep on your bed. Like, it's not like that. But yeah, we did make a big difference. I think 200 animals was a lot in a few days. So very happy.
Yay. Well, great job. And then a shout out to your rescue, saving lives, as well as Maya Rumfos, who's here in Minneapolis. She's been a guest on the show, Pet Project Rescue.
Yes, and we're here today with Mark Winter of Pet Life Radio, who gets us to you each and every week. Hey, Mark.
Hi, everyone. I don't have a rescue, but not yet. But I do have a pet radio network, and you always want to know what celebrities are coming. So let's see. We just had on Arden's show on Oh Behave, we had Richard Karn, who you know is Al Borland from the TV show Home Improvement. Yeah, he was fun. And coming up on Rappaport to the Rescue, we have Neil Patrick Harris.
Oh, my God. Oh, I love him.
Yowzer.
Oh, wow. That's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is he a big pet lover?
He is. And his husband as well.
Wow. Yeah, I just always remember him as, I used to watch Doogie Howser all the time.
That was a long time. That was in the 80s, I think, right?
I know. Alex wasn't even born yet.
No, I know him for How I Met Your Mother, right?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, is that the right one? Just a bit later. But yeah, and today we're super lucky to have Carol R. Scott from Carol R. Scott Photography just outside of Philadelphia. Carol has raised more than $80,000 for her local animal rescues, and she has gotten dozens of animals through her pet photography skills. She has gotten great media coverage for herself and her business, and she's a perfect example of a small pet business owner who knows how to get great PR. Welcome to the show, Carol.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here. I love listening to your show. I have learned so much from the topics that you cover, and it's just a wonderful resource to, you know, small business owners like myself that we don't have, you know, as a solopreneur or a small business, you don't necessarily have a team of PR people and social media people. So just the advice that I've gotten from your shows has been invaluable.
Aw, thank you. So tell us a bit about what you do. How did you get into the pet photography business?
So I started photographing adoptable pets, oh gosh, probably over 10 years ago now. Basically, I just really have always enjoyed photography and My son was doing some community service for his graduation requirement in school, and he was volunteering with a cat rescue. And I just started taking pictures of them. And I said to the rescue, I took some photos if you would like to use them. And they said, well, you know, I think we're all right. We have photos. But then they saw them and they said, oh, these are really nice. So they started using them. And then the animals started getting adopted faster. And other rescues started seeing my photos and they reached out, and I started working with more and more rescues, and it kind of blossomed from there. And then eventually I turned it into a business, and rescue is now the cornerstone of my business.
That is amazing.
The best job in the world.
Yeah. What goes into taking pictures of an animal? Because it's very different than taking pictures of a human, right?
It is very different. And it's funny because I have friends that photograph children, and they say to me, how do you photograph dogs? That seems so hard. And I say, how do you photograph children? You know, because children run around and, you know, I mean, so do dogs. But I've just always had a connection with animals. Growing up as an only child, my dog was my best friend, and we spent all our time together. And I just always had a bond with any kind of animal. You know, if you see me at a party, I'm the one in the corner talking to the dog. And, you know, I don't find it hard. It has always been my stress relief when I was starting with the rescue photography. It kind of took me away from the rest of my life and my job at the time. And it was just fun. You know, you just make that connection with a dog. And I like to try to bring out their personality and also how I think they see themselves. You know, we don't often think about how dogs view themselves, but you know, some little dogs, you can tell they think they're a big dog, and and some big dogs think they're a lap dog, like my dog who's trying to get in my lap right now.
You know, I have a question for you. I have been talking to a lot of pet photographers who tell me that the space is becoming more competitive because the human photographers have found out how profitable it can be. Would you find that in your area as well?
I'm starting to see a lot more photographers. Now, there are for sure a lot of family photographers that will photograph your pet if you bring them along. There's not as many that are dedicated to just pets. You know, that is a pretty narrow niche, but it is becoming more and more popular and more mainstream. When I first started doing pet photography, people said, that's a thing. You know, they had never heard of it, but now it's much more commonplace. They're part of your family, so yes. Why not, right? Have them on your wall as you would your children or your parents or any other family member.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, to do that with the space growing, you've got to stand out, right? And that's where PR comes in. And Carol has had some amazing television coverage by two stations in the Philadelphia area, two very big stations. And let me just tell you, if you were to buy spots on TV stations, which sometimes I do, those hits, like I'm sure in the Philadelphia market, it's like, I know like in Florida, they were asking like 7,000 to 9,000 for a 2-minute hit. Tell us about how you get TV coverage to cover you and your business.
Well, the first one I cannot take credit for. One of my clients nominated me for Channel 6's Hometown Hero, 6ABC. Basically, they profile people in the community that are making a difference through, you know, various causes. She nominated me and they came out and did a story about the work I was doing with my rescue coffee table books. And then last year, I opened a studio. I had just been an outdoor photographer and I took the plunge and opened a studio space in media. And the news came out and did a nice story about us. And we had, we had a few dogs, a cat and a bird in the studio that day. So they were very interested in seeing how you photograph a bird.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know what? We need to take a quick break. And when we come back, Carol is going to talk about how she got that coverage for her opening of her studio. So stay tuned. Don't touch that computer or whatever listening device you're listening to us on.
You know the expression, cats have 9 lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Back with Carol Arscott, a wonderful pet photographer who is just outside of Philadelphia, and she was just telling us about the opening of our studio and how she got coverage for that.
Yeah, so I just sent out a press release to some local news stations and whatnot, and told them about the studio that was opening and how it was going to play a role in my rescue work. It is actually enabling me to photograph a lot more dogs now for rescues. I do obviously free rescue photography for adoptable animals. And in Philadelphia, the weather can be very iffy. I always say I'm happy maybe 4 weeks out of the year weather-wise. We have two good weeks in the spring and two good weeks in the fall. And the rest of the time is either rainy or cold or super hot. So having the studio just gives us a beautiful climate-controlled space, and we can do photos. Rescues can bring dogs to me. Because I have worked with so many rescues, it's not always possible for me to get out to each one each week. So typically, rescues bring me in when they have an older dog or a dog that has been in the shelter for a really long time, and they need special coverage for that dog to get them visibility and get them adopted.
So you mentioned you wrote some press releases and just sent them to the media. I want to know more about that. How did you find out how to write a press release? How did you know which media to reach out to? Like, what was your strategy in place for that?
So I threw a lot of spaghetti at the wall. I just sent it to everyone I could think of. And, you know, whenever you have a story about pets and rescue, I mean, that's a really good human interest story. I've been very fortunate to work with very generous people in terms of the people that have supported the rescue to help me raise so much for the different organizations. And in fact, there's been a little correction since the information that I provided you. I just crossed the $100,000 mark for my rescue fundraising.
Congratulations.
So it's very exciting. So, you know, it's really a great feel-good story because there's so much negativity everywhere you turn, so many sad and tragic stories. Even in rescue, obviously, there's a lot of tragic stories, but I like to focus on animals living their best lives. You know, when I do my coffee table books, we don't tell the sad stories because people can see that on the rescue websites and learn about, you know, where the animals came from. But I want to showcase how they have just blossomed into these amazing family pets. And they are just, I mean, I have one client whose dog has a collection of Tiffany necklaces. I mean, this dog is, she is the queen of the household.
That would be Mary's dog. Mary could do that, definitely.
Just so many amazing stories. She went from being abused and was used as a breeder dog. She came in with very severe injuries and she just hit the jackpot. She's truly living her best life.
Wow. That comes up to another kind of PR thing is that a lot of shelter and rescue folks have told me, you know, the animals tend to move faster if the photo and the write-up of the adoptable animal is more positive. So like if you have a three-legged dog, don't talk about the fact that the dog is three-legged, but all the other attributes, its wonderful personality and that sort of thing. That kind of sounds like what you are doing. And you're automatically doing one of the best practices in animal welfare.
Yeah. Well, what I'm finding is that, you know, it's so true. There was a tendency for so long for rescues to post sometimes gory details of where it came from and what their situation is. And yes, it does pull at your heartstrings, but I'm finding that a lot of people just couldn't take seeing that in their social media feed day in and day out. And sometimes they would unfollow the rescues or just disengage because it was just so heartbreaking for them, you know, personally to see that. So rather than say, you know, this dog was in a terrible accident or whatever and only has one leg, you know, that is going to make people wonder, can I handle this dog? Is this dog going to have issues later in life? You know, what are the health repercussions? So what I do instead, and in fact, since you mentioned a three-legged dog, I had one in one of my books. She paddle boards.
Oh my gosh, look at that.
I don't know if you can see the photo.
Yeah, we can. That's so cute.
Yes.
She was in my first coffee table book. And when I was talking to her owner, she said, I'm training for a paddleboard. And I said, well, we definitely have to go to the lake and do her photos there. And she just jumped on that paddleboard and had the best time. So, I mean, this dog does more than my four-legged dogs do. She's...
That is amazing.
Yeah, paddleboard.
Can you tell us, what was it like to work with the Philadelphia media?
Oh, fantastic. We have so many news anchors and correspondents that are just really big animal advocates. They work very closely with rescues. A lot of them host the galas that the rescues put on. So having that voice in the rescue community is tremendous. In fact, there was a dog that was timestamped last week, and a reporter was covering that story and really just posting that dog all over social media. And the dog had until 10 a.m. to be adopted. His time had been extended three times, and that was going to be it. That was no more extensions. A family saw the story and drove 3 hours to get that dog. So it's amazing. So not just coverage in our local area, but putting that on social media and blasting it out to people that, you know, that may not see the TV broadcast, but see what these news anchors do and reporters do on social media is just a tremendous way to save the animals.
Yeah. And, you know, teaming up, this is just another option, but a lot of news stations will sponsor these rescue events and galas.
Yes.
And that is an instant way to get free publicity, because they can also promote their on-air talent as well as the rescues event. And then they always, you know, they'll talk about it in their morning shows or their fluffier shows, or the anchor will talk about it. If they're like an evening news anchor, they'll say like, I had the privilege of, you know, emceeing Fido's rescue today. It was so much fun. And they always cover it, right? Because their talent is involved. So if that is a wonderful way to try to guarantee yourself news coverage. And here in Minnesota, we're doing a huge, you know, walk for animals right now. And the television stations, a television station and I believe a radio station are sponsoring it. So the radio station's talking about the TV stations. You can also include your local paper.
Yes.
And that's a free way. And, you know, your local media wants to give back to the community, and they all love animals. Who doesn't love animals, right?
Absolutely. A lot of the stations in Philadelphia actually have dedicated segments every week. One is called Rescue Me, where they will go out to a local rescue and feature some of the adoptable dogs. So it's not just a once in a while thing. It's a weekly commitment to them to help these animals find homes.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing, so Alex and I have run into this because we pitch nationally, right? So we pitch all the different communities. We've pitched Philly, LA, Chicago. I'm trying to think. We even had one that was Portland, Maine, and Portland, Oregon. That was kind of cool because it was for the same campaign. But I can tell you that in order to pitch a local community, you've got to have a local tie-in. So one of the things that Alex and I do is we also work with pet brands, right? And that's a completely different ballgame than what you guys do. It's actually, I think, harder because the compelling story, you need a story. It's all about storytelling. But you have a local tie-in. You are the tie-in to your local news, and they want to cover local. And so if you're a rescue or shelter out there, you can get coverage if you reach out to your local people. If you are a brand, if you are a pet company that is selling pet food, then you need to come up with a story that is going to tie into that local community. So, for example, you invented a first aid kit for pets, and you have a Philadelphia dog that was saved because of that. Then you pitch through the real people and the real pets. And that's exactly what, whether you knew it or not, Carol, that's exactly what you did. You have to tailor your pitches to the organization that you're pitching. And that's so time consuming, right, Alex? And to be honest, the news media, I'm a former reporter myself, I really wanted to hear from the local person rather than the PR person. So one thing you might do is, like, if you're working with a PR agency, of course, they'll pitch it for you, but they'd love it if the, you know, the person who lives and works in the community actually actually is the one who, you know, of course, is on TV. And we just did a campaign with Pet Partners, the National Animal Therapy Pet Registry, for their Pet of the Year contest. And Alex and I pitched the local contestant who is vying for the contest. And that is what you need. That's how you get the local coverage. Of course, when you're pitching nationally, it's much different. And it's a higher threshold too, but local news has so much time to fill. It's unbelievable.
So what are your best tips for pitching local news? Because it can be hard sometimes to find an angle, especially if it's not, I mean, with rescue projects, you know, there are things that you can put out there. But for your average business owner that may not have a rescue connection, what's your best advice for them to get coverage?
Well, let's just start with you, with pet photography. So one thing you can do is, you know, tie yourself into a national day, which is kind of, they're kind of made up, right? National Cat Day, National Dog Day. And so many people, right, are using their cell phones. They're using their iPhones or whatever to take pictures of their animals. One thing you could do is pitch your local morning show and say, hey, I'm an expert in pet photography. I'd love to come on and talk about how to take great pictures of your pet with your cell phone. You know, that's going to be something they're going to be like, hey, that's a, everyone's taking. I mean, people have more pictures of their pets than their kids on their phone a lot of times. And so that's one of the tips that I would suggest. You're going to have to create something newsworthy and a storyline. Or, for example, you know, here's another idea, a beloved pet. For maybe it's a police canine or something that just passed. And you know, sometimes they have little memorial services for them. You could offer to take photos and pictures, and then you reach out to the local media and say, hey, I'm going, you'd have to work with, for example, the law enforcement, but they have these little ceremonies, and they usually, a lot of times I've seen, they don't even invite the media. And it's because they don't think of it, right? And so you could say, hey, I'm going to go, you know, document this, and I'd invite you to come along. And, you know, you could talk about working with nonprofits is always a good thing. And tying in any kind of a nonprofit would be great. Or like a Make-A-Wish kid, you know, a kid who has cancer and has only, and you could document them going, you know, to different places, and you could work trying to, you know, letting the media know that you're offering this service pro bono. Do you want to come along? And you can talk about how you give back. So giving back and philanthropy is probably one of the best ways to promote a for-profit business. Alex, do you have other tips?
No, I think these are great. I think that's exactly what you need to do. Yeah, just tie yourself into a story. I know, Mary, we've mentioned it before, but the newsjacking as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So newsjacking is where you insert yourself into the story of the day. So, for example, I worked with an animal shelter here. We had a case where a police officer shot a dog because he felt threatened. And it turned out, like, the body camera didn't quite show that as well. And it was really because the officer didn't understand the dog's behavior. Like, there was a lack of understanding of, like, a dog or a cat, they don't just bite you, they show signs. I mean, there's physical signs when an animal is about to bite you. And so we got a behaviorist to talk about this on TV, and then eventually the police department actually reached out and said, hey, can you give a presentation about dog behavior? And so it was a win-win for everyone, and people knew the shelter got great PR because they knew that every single animal coming out of the shelter was vetted because it went through the behavior team, which got a lot of credibility through that. But, you know, whatever your business is, if you are a boarder, a groomer, show off your expertise, teach people what do you need to know when you're boarding a pet, or what do you need to know for grooming your own pet if you're doing that? You know, even if you're a professional groomer, giving tips on TV or in the media is always going to help, because there's always going to be people that are like, I just don't want to do it myself. No. I just need somebody else to do it. Those are just kind of some of the tips with PR. And, you know, you're great proof, Carol, that you can do PR for yourself.
Yeah, you know, it is tough as a small business, because there's just not a lot of time. I mean, when people follow their passion and go into business. You know, when I decided I wanted to photograph dogs, I didn't want to be an accountant and a social media person and, you know, all these other hats that we wear. I wanted to take pictures of doggies, you know, but there's so much more to it that we have to do. And just trying to get education to, you know, figure out what resources are available and how we can sort of bring this into our business and add it as a part of our workflow, because, you know, it's really not something that you can do once a year. You have to be constantly trying to get your name out there and get a visibility for your business.
Right. Well, we need to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to get some more tips from Carol and we'll share some as well.
Begging to hear more of your favorite show? Full episodes of all our shows are available on demand. Go to PetLifeRadio.com to fetch our entire lineup of Possum Pet Podcasts. Also, dig us up in iHeartRadio and iTunes. Let's talk pets. Live and on demand, only from Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
And we're back with Carol. Carol, who's raised around $100,000 for animal rescues in Philadelphia. And I would just love to learn more about that because I know there's a lot of nonprofit listening to us. And I run my own organization and we're always looking for, you know, ways to fundraise. So, Carol, tell us more. How did you get $100,000?
Absolutely. So there are a lot of different ways that I fundraise. Around the holidays, I do Santa photos, Easter Bunny photos, things like that. And a portion of that goes to rescues. I do calendar contests that, you know, raise a lot of money in a very short period of time for rescues. Last summer, we raised $16,000 through one calendar contest.
Wow.
Which is just really exciting. You know, and you don't make the money really from selling the calendars. You make the money from the voting process. People submit photos of their pets and their friends and family vote on them. And that's where the bulk of the money comes from.
Okay.
For the rescue. But my very favorite way to raise money is through the coffee table books. So with the coffee table books, basically there's a set number of pets that can be in the book. I usually have about 60 dogs and cats in the book. Typically, it is with a specific rescue, and usually it's animals that they have rescued. Obviously, they want to promote the animals that have come through their organization. And so each participant pays a fee to the rescue to be in the book. The rescue gets 100% of that money. We then set up a time to have a session that can either be an outdoor session or it can be in my studio. And I've traveled to some really fun places for some of the sessions. We've done photos all around Philadelphia, in Gettysburg, in Washington, D.C., in New York, just all over, down at the Jersey Shore. So it's a really fun experience. A lot of people have never had professional photos of their pets. Some people will say, I have a million pictures on my phone. I don't need any more photos. But then when they see the difference with a professional photo, it's really exciting. And they get this custom artwork that they can have forever. So then we assemble the book. It takes about a year for me to do a book project. And the proceeds from the sale of the book, 100% of that goes to the rescue as well. Now, for my last book that's actually due to come out in June, I did something a little bit differently. We did a cover contest to see who would be on the cover of the book. The voting from that, just the voting, raised $20,000. So it was very competitive. People really wanted that cover. And in fact, this weekend, I'm doing the cover session for that. So we get a special shot for the front and the back of the book. So the first place gets the front of the book. Second place gets the back of the book. And then I also make special bookmarks that get handed out with each book. So the next 5 runners up get to be on the bookmarks. So they get some recognition as well. People just get super excited. It's, you know, it's really an honor to represent that rescue on the front of the book. And yeah, that project is approaching $30,000 now. So it's just a tremendous amount.
That's amazing.
And it's so much fun. I have a blast. The people are amazing. The animals are amazing. And we end up with a beautiful book that people can have on their coffee tables, give to their family or friends. A lot of people buy multiple copies. They'll buy one for their pet sitter, sometimes for their vet, sometimes for their groomer. And it's just fun to read the stories because each animal has their photos plus a little blurb about them telling their story and what kind of life they're living now. So it's really an uplifting book.
Oh, that's wonderful. So how do you plan on promoting it and getting these books sold?
So there is a link right now on the Rescue's website, so you can order directly from the Rescue. But my next project has just started, and this is a little bit different. A local restaurant group approached me and said, and we would like to partner with you. It's called White Dog Cafe. It's a big deal in the Philadelphia area. They're very well known, beautifully decorated restaurants, all in a dog theme. And they said, we would like to partner with you to do a book, which was just an amazing honor. And all of the money from that book is going to Alpha Bravo Canine, which is an organization that raises and trains service dogs for veterans. And they provide the dogs free of charge. So it's amazing the work that they do for veterans, because it normally a service dog costs between $20,000 and $30,000. At least that's how much it costs to raise one. So to be able to support their mission through a fun book supported by this amazing restaurant that just has such a huge fan base in the area, it's really just win-win all around.
That's so awesome. Well, how can people get a hold of you, and how can they get a hold of your book? How can they pre-order it?
Sure. My website is my name, carolrscott.com. And there will be a link on my website to link out to the Rescue, and you can order the book directly from them.
And Carol, I have a last question. Do you have any tips for any other people who would maybe like to start their own business, take that leap of faith, and maybe they also want to add like a philanthropic approach? Do you have any tips for them?
My biggest tip is don't wait. I was so afraid to take the leap. I used to be an IT project manager.
Just a bit different.
I was working, you know, my regular 40-hour a week job and doing pet photography on the side, but I basically was doing a full-time pet photography too. I was just working round the clock and, you know, on weekends. And when I finally took that leap of faith, it was just the best decision I ever made. So you really have to just trust yourself that you will figure it out and just get out in your community and network and spread the word. And there are so many people that love to support local businesses, pet businesses. I mean, the pet community just grows by leaps and bounds every year, and people are spending more and more money on their pets. And just so many rescues, they're all happy to receive any kind of help they can from businesses. So if you have anything that you can offer, I know that some, I work with some other local pet businesses that make treats, and they donate, you know, some treats to the pets. Others make collars. They might donate those to the rescue. So there's really a way to work together with these organizations so that it's mutually beneficial, and it's all about helping the animals.
All right. Well, that is a wrap for this show. Thank you so much, Carol. We are so excited to be doing this for all of you out there who are making life better for animals like Carol is. So, do you have a question or any kind of a comment you want us to look at? Well, reach out to us on Instagram or Facebook under Whisker Media, and we'll try to answer it in a future podcast episode. So, as we always say,
bark loud and purr smart.
All righty. See everyone.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.